John Vedant. We'll move immediately to Ben Forrest's closely related talk.
I was going to say that I put the social in soup and science. I'm one of the social scientists in the department, in the Faculty of Science. Anyway, I wanted to thank Dean Grant and the others for giving me an opportunity to talk about my work today. My research in general involves the intersection of technology and society. In particular, I'm interested in the impact of geographic information systems on political representation. And what I'll be doing today is very briefly presenting a case study of political redistricting in the United States. First, just a little bit of vocabulary. This is the idea of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering refers to the ability to affect the outcome of an election through the manipulation of district, or as we would say in Canada, riding boundaries. So you can determine what candidate wins, or at least affect what candidate wins, by changing the boundaries of districts. And this has been going on for quite a long time. The original gerrymander, 1812, in Massachusetts, actually. But a fairly crude process at that time. Well, what does this have to do with GIS? Well, you can think of GIS, or geographic information systems, as computerized maps. And they can be as simple as the one I've illustrated here, which is essentially an electronic road map showing various physical features. Things get really interesting, however, when you start putting socioeconomic or demographic data into GIS. And they're very powerful. So, for example, the GIS system that I run on my 8-year-old laptop allows me to very quickly determine that this particular census block, you can think of that as just a city block, in Houston, Texas, has a total population of 30 people. Of those 30 people, 20 identify themselves racially as black or African-American, and 10 identify themselves as other, that is, some racial category that is not included on the U.S. Census. Now, I know as science students or prospective science students, you're all very good at math, and you're thinking, wait a minute, 20 plus 10 plus 10 is 40. My God, he's made a really stupid mistake. Not so. You have to understand that on the U.S. Census, Hispanic counts as an ethnic category, not a racial category. So someone who identifies themselves as Hispanic can be a member of any race. So there's actually a little double counting going on with this data. Okay. GIS can also contain political information. And this would be, for example, the number of voters who registered in a particular political party. Political data is reported in precincts, or in the case of Texas, they're called voter tabulation districts, more commonly called precincts. So you have a layer of demographic data, and you have a layer of political data. The challenge for GIS is that political data reported in precincts or VTDs is typically at a larger scale than census blocks. So when you're doing a redistricting project, when you're creating a new election district, you can typically have to make a choice. You can be accurate in terms of population and demographic data, or you can be accurate in terms of political data. But it's very, very difficult to do both. Now, when GIS was introduced, and this was really in the 1990s, for political redistricting, there's a lot of democratic promise. It was thought that it would make the process more transparent, it would make it more accessible, and it would result in a kind of decentralization. It would take power away from political parties. What my research shows, the reality of GIS, is that it's actually concentrated power with political parties. It's created more partisan power. It's limited the potential for representation, and in many ways represents a very profound challenge to the very idea of democratic representation. Thank you.